This is Negotiation for Founders, written by Renata Becker, read for you by Renata Becker. Introduction. A few years ago, I sat across a small wooden table from a woman named Pilar, who ran a four-person design studio in Austin. She had just been offered a contract by a mid-sized software company that wanted her studio to handle their entire visual identity rebuild. The offer on the table was $62,000. Pilar's stomach was somewhere around her knees. She had never billed a single client more than $30,000 for a project, and she was about to say yes before they changed their minds. I asked her what the work would actually cost her to deliver. She had not done that math. We did it together on a napkin. Between three contractors, her own time, the rebrand of their packaging system, and the website handoff, the real cost to her studio was going to land somewhere around $58,000. She would clear $4,000 over 6 months and lose 2 months of new business development to do it. The offer, that looked like a windfall, was almost a loss. Pilar did not need a tactical negotiation manual at that moment. She did not need to learn how to mirror the buyer's words, or how to ask calibrated questions, or how to deploy the late-night FM DJ voice that a famous book recommends. She needed somebody to tell her the truth, which was that the offer was below cost and that she had to either raise the price or walk away. We rewrote the proposal that afternoon. The number went to $94,000. The client signed. I have been telling versions of that story for 16 years because the story is almost always the same. The founder is underpriced. The freelancer is undercharging. The consultant is afraid to ask for the deposit. The small business owner is signing the vendor contract without reading the renewal clause. The negotiation problem is rarely a tactical problem. It is almost always a preparation problem dressed up as a tactical problem. Most invoicing books are written for a different reader. They are written for procurement officers at large companies, or for executives who walk into a deal with a legal team, an analyst, a CFO, and 3 years of relationship history with the other side. Those readers need different tools than you do. They need to know how to win a long, structured negotiation in which both sides have prepared, both sides have alternatives, and both sides have permission from their organizations to walk. You usually have one or two of those, not all four. You are also negotiating constantly, whether you call it that or not. The Slack message asking your contractor to revise the scope is a negotiation. The customer who emails to ask if you can knock 15% off the renewal is a negotiation. The candidate who pushes back on your offer letter is a negotiation. The investor who suggests a small change to the term sheet is a negotiation. The vendor who casually mentions that they raised their hourly rate is a negotiation. You can choose to treat these as administrative tasks and lose ground on every single one, or you can recognize them as what they are and protect what your business needs. This book is built on a few stubborn ideas. The first is that preparation matters more than performance. I have watched smooth talkers lose deals they should have won. And I have watched nervous, awkward founders win deals against polished adversaries because the awkward founder knew exactly what the deal was worth and refused to budge below it. Preparation is a flat circle. You do the work before you sit down. The second idea is that manipulation does not pay. There is a whole genre of negotiation writing that essentially teaches you how to mess with people's heads, mirror them, label their emotions, create false urgency, anchor outrageously, throw out an accusation audit, and so on. Some of this is harmless theater. A lot of it teaches you to treat the person across the table as a target rather than a counterpart. The trouble with that, beyond the obvious ethical problem, is that founders and small business owners depend on repeat relationships. You will see this person again. They will tell other people what you were like to deal with. The reputation you build in the first 10 negotiations will follow you for 10 years. The third idea is that you, the reader, are usually the underdog. You probably have less money, less time, fewer alternatives, and less legal firepower than the person you are negotiating with. Most negotiation advice was not written for the underdog. It was written by and for people with leverage to spare. I want to give you something you can use when you do not have leverage to spare. When the rent is due, when the runway is short, when you cannot afford to walk away from every bad offer because you have not eaten dinner yet. The fourth idea is that you can do this without becoming someone you are not. I have met founders.